Today on The King is Coming.
I want to feel the way God feels. I want to know what God knows, and He's put that for us in here in the Bible. Do you want to grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you want to be mature, strong, confident, courageous as you walk through this world? The key to doing that is developing biblical discernment. That's what we're going to find out how to do on the next The King is Coming. Hi, I'm Jeff Kinley. We've been talking about on The King is Coming this man named Noah. And as it was in the days of Noah, well, that's based upon a book that I wrote a few years ago called As It Was in the Days of Noah, Warnings from the Bible about the Coming Global Storm. And in this book, we talk about how the days that Noah experienced are the days that we're experiencing right now and how we can navigate those difficult times. I think this is a very relevant message for the world today. And it was when the book came out originally in 2014. It immediately went to number one, became the number one prophecy book in America. It rose to the number 94 spot out of 8 million books on Amazon and got me on programs like Fox and Friends, The Glenn Beck Show, The Ben Shapiro Show, and hundreds of other radio and TV shows. And I think it's mainly because it just struck a nerve. Well, today we're living in those days as well. And we've updated the book now, republished it. I've added two new chapters to it and added a bunch of new content in the back. I want you to get a copy of As It Was in the Days of Noah. It not only open your eyes to what's going on in the world around you as the Bible predicts, but also equip you on how you can walk in these difficult times. Pick up a copy of As It Was in the Days of Noah. Well, we've been talking about biblical discernment on The King is Coming. And this book that I've written called Uncovering the Secrets of Bible Prophecy takes you to the next level in biblical discernment. Not only in this book will you learn how to develop discernment, but also how to interpret prophecy, how to interpret scripture, and how to recognize some of the fake news and the false prophets that are out there today. This book is a great little primer on getting into prophecy and understanding how to develop the biblical discernment that we all need and want in our lives. And it's available through The King is Coming.
For your gift of $20 or more to World Prophetic Ministry today, you will receive your copy of Uncovering the Secrets of Bible Prophecy by Jeff Kinley. Get your copy by visiting thekingiscoming.com or call 1-800-622-2767. Do it today.
Well, welcome back to The King is Coming. We've been talking about biblical discernment, and we define biblical discernment as being able to think biblically about the world. And not just about the world, but about ourselves, about life, the church, everything in life today. And this is a key skill, because as we walk through the world, there are a lot of messages coming our way, are they not? I mean, we are bombarded every day with really hundreds, if not thousands, of different type of messages that come our way. I read recently where the average young person spends up to 5 to 7 hours a day on their phones. And that's a lot of information coming in. And so living in this digital age that we're in, we're finding ourselves just really inundated with all this information. Well, with all this coming in, we've got to have some sort of filter through which to read and understand and, yes, discern what really is true and what's not. It's like, you know, when you eat a chicken, you eat the meat, but you throw away the bones, right? Well, we've got to be able to eat the meat of what's really true there in the world today, and obviously in the Word. But in the world, we throw away those bones because they're not useful for us. So thinking biblically about life and about self and reality and everything that's out there today. Now, when we talk about biblical discernment, we're talking about an ability. And Paul prays, as we saw last time, for the Philippians to have a special ability. Not everything that we have in our Christian lives are just automatically given to us. Now, when you're saved, you're given eternal life immediately. You're given the Holy Spirit immediately. You're sealed by the Holy Spirit for salvation until the day of redemption. The Bible tells us that we're protected by the Holy Spirit. It also tells us we are baptized into Christ at the moment of salvation. We get a relationship with God. It comes automatic with the standard package. But then everything else on top of that means that we have to grow into these things. Just like a baby, when a baby's born, one of the first things they do is they do this test called the Apgar test, where they basically, you know, test the color of the skin, the tone of the skin, rather, make sure it's healthy. They test the number of fingers and toes. They count, right? And make sure the baby's complete. Well, you're born complete in Christ, but everything else above that is a matter of growth. And that growth, as we've seen, in part has to do with our knowledge and interaction with the Word of God. And so that's part of what discernment is all about, is maturing in our relationship with Christ. Now, I want to divide this whole idea of discernment into four different categories for you so that you can clearly see where you are and where really the world is in terms of this whole idea of discernment. So I call it four levels of discernment. And the first one is what I call common discernment. Say, Jeff, what is common discernment? Well, it kind of speaks for itself. It's common, right? It's something that is true of most everyone. In fact, everyone is born and grows up with a little bit of discernment. So where do we see that? Well, we go over to Romans chapter 1, and we see something that that is true of every person, the Bible says, is that when they're born, they have a basic knowledge or a basic, a discernment package. You know, it kind of comes standard with it. It's kind of like when you buy a computer, you get a certain level of memory, but if you really want to step it up, you got to add memory to it, right? Well, we're all born with this basic hardware operating system. In Romans chapter 1, it says that every person is born, it says in verse 19, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident within them. Say, Jeff, how does everyone just automatically know that there's a God? Well, it says in verse 20, for since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power, and His divine nature have been clearly seen. How does everyone clearly see God's divine nature and His attributes? Well, read on in the verse here. It says, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. So here's what God says, is that every person kind of gets this basic knowledge that there is a creator out there. You know, today when we live our lives out here, we don't normally look up at the stars a lot. You know, I lived in the country for 4 years out on a mountain right north of Arkansas in the Ozark Mountains. Every night I'd walk up, the stars were as clear as they could be. I hadn't seen the stars in years because I'd been living in the city. And we find ourselves looking down at our phones. We never look up anymore. But God says, I want you to look up. I want you to look at the stars, the sky, the universe. I want you to look at the earth and all that I've made. Because when you do that, He says, you understand something about me. And then He says also in chapter 2 of Romans, beginning in verse 14, He says this about humanity. He says, for when the Gentiles who do not have the law do instinctively the things of the law, these are a law to themselves, in that they show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness to them, and their thoughts alternately either accusing or else defending them. So here's what God says, that there is an internal operating system that everybody gets, and that's a discernment level, okay? It's kind of at the bottom. It's a very base level foundation. But it's a basic knowledge that there's a God, that He's big, that He's powerful, that He's creative, that He's divine, and a basic sense of right and wrong. That's why every culture on the planet has a basic moral code. And you'll go to places that in the jungles of Papua New Guinea or Ecuador, and you'll find tribes that have never been influenced from any outside experience or influence. And guess what? They have laws about murder and about adultery and about lying. Where'd they get that stuff from? They don't have a Bible. They got it from their hearts because God put it within them. Now, that is what I call common discernment. It's common to all people. We all get it. Now, there's a kind of an implication to that, is that if everybody gets the idea from the very beginning that there's a God, then where does the idea of atheism come from? Well, it tells us right back in Romans chapter 1, it says, beginning in verse 18, it says that men suppress the truth in unrighteousness. In other words, if you're going to be an atheist, you have to try. In other words, it doesn't come to you naturally. You have to actively deny, suppress, ignore the truth that your heart and the world and creation is screaming at you. That's why Psalm 19 says, "The heavens declare the handiwork of God." Charles Spurgeon used to say that at night, the stars were God's traveling preachers across the sky because they declare His glory. So that's basic common discernment. Now let's move from that level, let's build it up another level to another level of discernment. And this is what I call corrupted discernment. Now, corrupted discernment is what happens when you suppress the common discernment that God has already given to you. So where do we see that? Well, let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, this is very telling. Paul really kind of unpacks this for us here. He says, "But the natural man," he says, "does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. For these things," the things of the Spirit of God, he says, "are foolishness to him." And he says he cannot understand them because they, the things of the Spirit of God, are spiritually appraised or spiritually discerned. In other words, the things of the Spirit of God, we're going deeper than just the basic knowledge of God and the universe. The things of the Spirit of God are things that only a person with the Spirit can understand. You have to have the Holy Spirit to understand the things of the Spirit of God. Because he had said earlier, and he goes on to say later in Corinthians, who knows the mind of God but the Spirit of God? Who knows the mind of a man but the Spirit of a man, right? You have to get inside someone's mind to really understand their mind, right? And he's saying here that if you don't have the Spirit of God, you can't understand the things of God. Now, this explains why you can talk to somebody about Jesus, or you can tell them about, you know, basic morality, and they'll look at you with this confused look on their face, or maybe get angry, or maybe just scratch their heads and they don't understand. Why? Because of this verse. They are what the Bible calls a natural man. And there's natural men and there's spiritual men. Now, when you and I become believers in Jesus Christ, the Bible says that we are become spiritual. And it says in the next verse, "But he who is spiritual appraises or discerns all things. And yet he himself is discerned or judged by no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he should instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." So this is this level of discernment I call corrupted discernment. Now, what's very interesting about this level of discernment is that not just that people say, "Well, I'm just going to deny the knowledge of God. I don't want to know anything about God anymore." And it just kind of stays right there. No, it gets worse. In fact, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, it says, "This I say therefore and affirm together with the Lord that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles or the non-Christians walk in the futility of their mind," because they've gotten God out of the picture. But watch this. He says, "being darkened in their understanding and excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is within them because of the hardness of their heart." And so what he's saying there is that there is a sense of darkness that comes over a person. And in fact, Romans chapter 1 says that as well. But they become futile in their thinking. So if we reject the common discernment, then that common discernment that we once had, it now has become corrupted. And now we can't think properly. It's literally brain damage is really what it boils down to in terms of thinking about God. So that's sort of corrupted discernment. Let's move on to another category of discernment, and this is what I call casual discernment. Now, casual discernment is what I believe most Christians really have. You know, you're born as a non-Christian, you get common discernment, you reject that, you've got corrupted discernment. This is what I call a casual discernment. Now, to understand a little bit about that, we go to the book of Hebrews for a second, and the writer here is telling us about people who should be growing in Christ a lot more, but they're not growing. And listen, I was a pastor for over 35 years. I dealt with a lot of people from every stage of their spiritual development, and I dealt with a lot of babes in Christ. But I also dealt with people that just simply got stuck. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's like they just kind of hit a ceiling in their spiritual development, and for whatever reason, they just couldn't go any further. And I think it had a lot to do with just their unwillingness to really engage God and His Word. But look what it says in Hebrews chapter 5. He says, concerning him, he's talking about Melchizedek. He says, we have much to say. He says, but it's hard to explain. In other words, I can't go to level 201, to level 301 with you spiritually, he says, you Hebrew believers, because you have become dull of hearing. Maybe you have a grandparent or a parent, or maybe yourself, your hearing's going bad, you know? And you're like, I just can't discern the things with my ears that I used to. I can't hear them. They're just noise. Well, guess what? The writer of Hebrews says that some Christians get that. They have just a little bit of discernment, but they can't go to the next level. He says in verse 12, for though by this time, that means you've been doing this Christian thing a while, but he says by this time, you ought to be teachers. I mean, the timeline here says you should be at this rank of spiritual development. He says, you have need again, though, for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. And a lot of Christians have just enough knowledge to be able to say a few things. You know, they know the gospel, maybe. Jesus died for sinners, and that's great. You know, you need to know the gospel to share it with somebody else, right? But when it comes to really going above that and going deeper than that and beyond that, because guess what? If all God wanted us to know was the gospel, there would be one verse or two verses in the Bible, and we'd be done, right? But there are 66 books in the Bible, over 1,100, I think in 89 chapters, something like that. There's a lot of words in the Bible, a lot of verses and principles and doctrines and truths. So here's what God's saying. I want you to get the milk, but I want you to move beyond that. But if you just stay at this casual sort of, you know, blasé, you know, kind of area of development in your Christian life, God says you're going to go back to babyhood again. You're going to go back to eating that pureed food. You're going to go back to drinking milk only, it says. We can still drink milk, but not just only milk, because milk is meant for babies, spiritually speaking. So God says when you get into this whole idea of casual discernment, He says that you're not accustomed to the real word of righteousness, to a deeper word of righteousness. This is a very interesting word here that only occurs one time in the whole New Testament. It's what we call a hapax legomena. I know that sounds like a skin disease or something, right? But the hapax legomena just means it only occurs one time in the whole Bible. And this word, that you're not accustomed to the word of righteousness, means that you're not tested with it, or you're not experienced with it. You're not experienced with it. It's kind of like, you know, putting a five-year-old behind the wheel of a car, or giving someone a gun at a shooting range that doesn't know what they're doing, you know, or putting someone in charge of you know, running some sort of big piece of machinery or something. It's like, no, you want to be accustomed. You want to be experienced in doing this. And by the way, there are people today, people on YouTube, preachers, sometimes it may be even a mega church that might be up there with a Bible, or maybe not a Bible, but they're not experienced with the Bible. I love what I think it was D.L. Moody said, the pastor of Moody Memorial Church in Chicago. He said that a Bible that is falling apart usually belongs to someone whose life isn't. And the more that we are accustomed to the word of righteousness, the more the Bible is familiar to us. We begin to think in Bible, you know what I'm saying? It's like when we try to do a foreign language. If you really want to do a foreign language well, you begin to think in that language. Well, God wants us to think biblically, and that's what discernment is, to think biblically. And so this whole area of casual discernment is what a lot of people in the Christian community have, but I think that you want to go beyond that. You want to get to this last level, this pinnacle of discernment. It's what I call consecrated discernment. Now, consecrated discernment, I define it this way. It's someone who is grounded in Scripture, and that their thinking has been transformed. Now, time out. That doesn't mean that you and I don't sometimes have dumb thoughts or stupid thoughts or you know, very low thoughts, or maybe we just have ignorant things go in our head. Doesn't mean that, because we're still human, right? But it means that overall we're growing to the point where we're beginning to have our thinking transformed. We read life, and that means culture, the world, relationships, morality. We read everything through the template of the Bible. Now, what does that look like? Well, let's go back to Hebrews chapter 5. It's talking about these babes in Christ, the ones that have the casual discernment. Then he transitions and he says, but solid food, he says, is for the mature. Solid food is for the mature. If you find yourself sometimes hungering for something more, not something more than God, but something more than what you've been experiencing in terms of the level of your biblical understanding and your interaction with Scripture, if you find that desire, my friend, that desire is from God and it is completely natural. In fact, we should be desiring more. And I know from my own life that as I grew in my Christian experience and I was exposed to great Bible teaching, some of the greatest Bible teachers of the world, I studied under some of the great giants of the faith. In fact, I'm here in a studio where one of those giants once taught the Word of God, Dr. Ed Heinzen. When you sit under that kind of teaching, you know what it does? It makes you want more. It makes you satisfied, but it makes you dissatisfied because you want more. You want to go deeper. You want to know more about this God. You want to study this Bible even further. And that is a part of what I call consecrated discernment, discernment that is sanctified, discernment that wants to be like Jesus Christ. And in this verse here, he says, solid food is for the mature. Now watch what he says here. He says, because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. The key word here is practice, because of practice. You know, I mean, nobody just picks up an instrument and starts playing it. You know, they've never held a guitar. They've never studied music. They just pick it up and start playing it like a virtuoso. Nobody does that. Nobody does anything like that. It's called practice. And what practice does is that it develops a pattern of habit in our lives, a habit of being in the Word, a habit of listening to the Word, a habit of thinking of biblically in our lives. And when that happens, that practice then becomes, wow, watch this, our lifestyle, our lifestyle. And isn't that our goal as believers, to live in our lifestyle for Jesus Christ? And he says, when we get into the solid food, go beyond the milk, have that consecrated discernment, then we have a level here of understanding things that's on a whole nother level. Now, here's the good news. The good news is this kind of discernment that the writer of Hebrews is talking about and that Paul prayed for his Philippian believer friends is not something for the spiritual elite. It's something that is for every believer in Jesus Christ. In fact, it is God's will for every believer in Jesus Christ. So we have to ask ourselves the question, am I right now being taught, being exposed to solid biblical teaching? Am I studying my Bible in such a way that deepens my faith, that takes me to the next level, that sharpens my game? I saw a video not long ago from Tiger Woods. And he said, when I play a course, a golf course, he said, I ask two questions. Where's the first tee box and what's the course record? Now, not many people can follow through with that and go on to break the course record. But if you consider Tiger Woods as a man who gets up in the morning and he goes and he hits 700 golf balls before breakfast. And then after breakfast, he goes to work out. And after working out, he goes to play a round of golf or two. And that kind of dedication has made him perhaps the greatest golfer of all time. Or someone like a Steph Curry or a Michael Jordan. It's just in the area of sports. But listen, these guys didn't just walk onto the court and play basketball. They shot tens of thousands of baskets, honing their skill, developing muscle memory that now they just did it without even thinking. They just did it. Their hands knew what to do. Their feet knew what to do. Their eyes knew what to do. And this is part of what we want with biblical discernment. It says, through practice, discern difference between good and evil. And it's just not just talking about basic good and evil. It's talking about understanding what is really good, what is even better than what most people think is good, and what is more evil than what most people say is evil. So it gives us the ability to do that. Now, three quick things and we're going to end. Number one, about this whole idea of how to learn to discern. Keep in mind that it's not a download, but a life skill. It's not something we just press a button and we get, you know, like the Matrix or something like that. No, it's a life skill that happens over time. There are no quick fixes. There are no magic formulas. We can't microwave ourselves into maturity. We can't drive through the window and get discipleship. It's practice over time. So be patient and let God work in you over time. Secondly, I would encourage you to be saturated and grounded in the Word of God. Get a good study Bible. Continue to listen to podcasts and TV shows like this that equip you and ground you in the Word of God. And then thirdly, when you do that, you'll be able to read culture and humanity and even your own life the way God wants you to. In other words, you'll be able to see what's happening out there in the world through the great filter of Scripture. And that's what we all want to be able to do. I want to see the way God sees. I want to feel the way God feels. I want to know what God knows. And He's put that for us in here in the Bible. So the one question that you and I always want to ask ourselves about everything is, what does the Bible say? What is the Bible? Not what I think, what I feel, what I want, what I believe. What does the Bible say? My friend, when we do that, then we are well on our way to developing biblical discernment. And having biblical discernment will serve you in the best possible way in your life. God bless you, and I'll see you next time on The King is Coming.
In his final finished work, Dr. Ed Heinzen served as general editor for this brand new, high-quality Bible, the New King James Version Evangelical Study Bible. This Bible focuses on evangelism, and it contains notes and other supplemental materials written by theology scholars from Liberty University, as well as articles, background notes, word studies, biographies of biblical figures, full-color maps, charts, family trees, and so much more. For your gift to World Prophetic Ministry today, you will receive a copy of this incredible Bible. Your confidence and ability to share your faith with others will grow as you build solid, biblical understanding of Christ and His love for you. Don't miss this opportunity. Get your copy today.
The Bible records over 100 miracles, many of which have become well-known through the ages. In our exciting series, Forgotten Miracles of the Bible, Dr. Heinzen examines five amazing miracles from the Book of 2 Kings, some which many have never heard of. Stories of the miraculous, stories of the unusual, and stories of God intervening in human life. This series will be an excellent reminder that God can do miracles. Yours may be just around the corner. For your gift of only $45 or more to World Prophetic Ministry, you will receive a copy of this five-part DVD series, Forgotten Miracles of the Bible. Call the number on your screen or go to thekingiscoming.com today. World Prophetic Ministries is recognized as a church and religious organization by the Internal Revenue Service, and thus all donations to World Prophetic Ministries are recognized as charitable contributions under the IRS code.